Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing on this beautiful Sunday? No rain, no wind. Yeah, it's awesome. It's great to be back. This is your first time worshiping with us, or perhaps you're observing off on the path. I want to welcome you. My name is David Mobley, and I'm one of the pastors here along with Jason D. Boy and Tyler Wendell. After service, we're going to be having a taco bar lunch with all of the food and drinks provided. So I encourage you to stick around, enjoy some really good food, but also meet some people. But I also want to invite you to worship with us next week, as we're going to be starting a brand new sermon series going verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. Now, normally we meet just a half mile down the road at Laurel Park Elementary School at 10 a.m. We have handouts at the back of the shelter that have all the information that you need. And so if you're new here today, or again, perhaps you're walking along the path, I encourage you to grab one of those handouts, learn all about who we are, and then consider checking us out next Sunday on May 12th over at Laurel Park Elementary School. Well, as you heard from John this morning, we're taking somewhat of a brief survey through the book of Acts. The lyrics that you should have the three scriptures on there if you'd like to read along with me. If you didn't get one of those lyrics, raise your hand now, and I know one of our greeters would love to bring you one. But if you are like a firstborn type A like me, and you want to follow along in your own Bibles, these are the three passages. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then we'll flip over to chapter 2, looking at verses 42 through 47, and then we will jump pretty far ahead to chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. You'll see why we're talking about that here in a moment. Now, for a brief second, I would love to address all the kids. We are so thankful to get to worship with you every time that we gather here at the shelter. And like we always do, we've got some sermon bingo cards for you. If you don't have one of those, raise your hand right now. They're for kids of all ages. You know, you can any age you want. If you don't have one, raise your hands. I know someone would love to bring you one now. Whenever you hear a word that is on your board, mark it off and take it to Miss Amber after service, and she will give you a prize. For those who are paying attention, if you give her a bingo card, she'll give you a prize. May or may not be one of the words on the card. But again, just take it to Miss Amber. She'd love to give you one. Adults, I've seen some of your hands raised. We've heard that some of you like these cards too. So if you'd like one to help you pay attention, go ahead and raise your hand. We'd love to give you one, but you don't get a prize. You'll get a pat on the back. Prizes are only for the kids, but we would love for you to participate with us. Now, as you can imagine, we do have a lot to cover with three passages. So let's pray, and then we'll jump in together. Father, like Tyler said, thank you for this physical shelter and all that it represents for our church, but really what it represents for the walk for a follower of Christ, how you are our shelter, you are our refuge, and our desire as a church is not just to be here for ourselves, but to bring others to this place, to experience your goodness and your kindness, your love and your mercy. Holy Spirit, as we jump into this text, I pray that you would help us to learn what it means as an individual follower of Christ, but also for the church at large. And so please be with us now as we explore these three passages. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so a question that I have received a lot recently, given the season that we find ourselves in as a congregation, honestly, a question that I've been asking myself, if I'm being honest with you, is who are we? Who are we? As if to say, we knew who we once were as Vintage Church West, but now that we are Shelter Church, who are we? Or perhaps said a different way, who will we be? Now, before we spend time unpacking that this morning, I think there's a few interesting things to consider about what that question may demonstrate. First is this primal desire that we have as human beings for stability, to always know, as it were. Right? Like, if you just think about it, we typically don't do well. We don't do well when the future's unclear or when things seem unknown. And honestly, I think that's another really strong argument for this existence and even the desire that we may have for this all-knowing, all-powerful God who does always know what the future holds. Something that we'll see here soon when we dive into Acts chapter 1. The second observation from that question is the temptation to move fast, and the temptation to make really quick decisions in this new season. Whereas the ultimate call for a follower of Christ is to be yoked to Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to listen to Jesus, but then ultimately to obey Jesus. It's like my counselor has been telling me in this season, there's the Lord's speed, and then honestly, there's everything else. And thirdly, and I think what burns most in my heart, is that I think we already know who we are. Right? We're this. We're what we're doing right now. You see, we planted in January of 2020 with Vintage Church. And listen, I'm going to be straight up with you. I refuse to treat Vintage as he who shall not be named. Right? And so if you're not a Harry Potter fan or if you have a bingo card, we're talking about Voldemort. Right? I refuse to do that with Vintage Church. I love Vintage. Vintage planted us. Vintage supported us. They did so much for that 4.5 years. And the truth of the matter is, we would not be who we are today without Vintage Church. We would not be here without the support from the members of those churches, those congregations, the staff, and the elders. And I can stand before you today and tell you with almost 90% certainty, I would not be in ministry. And I would not be a pastor. But I will also tell you that since January of 2020, our congregation has been on a journey, right? Our congregation has been on its own unique path or trajectory that has forged us into who we are today. And I want to stand here before you and tell you that we are continuing on that path. And so perhaps to alleviate some concerns, we're not taking a hard right turn. We're not pivoting some crazy thing that we have not been yet. We are who we are, and we want to continue to go down the path that God is leading us on. And so, yes, our new name is Shelter Church. Yes, we met at this very shelter for 10 months during COVID. Yes, I understand that we are currently gathered here as I speak, but here's the thing. We are not our name. We are not our name. No, our name embodies who we are. And that distinction matters. In other words, our identity is not wrapped up in our name of Shelter Church. But I will submit to you that I think the name does embody who we became, who we are, and perhaps even where we're going. What I mean is, we often say that meeting here for those 10 months was quote unquote an experience that forged our new church plant into who we are today. And I think the reason for that is because that season stripped us down to the essentials, right? What really matters. I mean, in our modern culture, where corporate America tries to make its way into almost every facet of the church, that particular season, and then honestly, every time that we return here, it reminds us at a foundational level of who the church, who the body of Christ is called to be. And so who are we? We're followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus who follow Jesus' commands. And listen, I know that we want to overcomplicate that because it seems too bleh. Like we want something that makes us stand out, something that embodies our unique DNA as a church. But as I continue to reflect and pray, I'm like, why? And should we? As many of you know, for several months, we have been in a series called Jesus and People, where we're looking at different interactions that folks had with the Lord. And since Easter, we've been looking at people's experiences with the resurrected Jesus. And so with that in mind, I'm not sure how we can't look at passages like Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It really serves as Luke's equivalent to the Great Commission. What we typically read in Matthew chapter 28. So let's dive into our first scripture reading. It's Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Again, you can follow along on your handouts. It says, so when the first disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so as we read Luke's version of Jesus' final words to his disciples, I think we observe two things. Number one, our role as followers of Christ, and it's going to pain you to hear this, but our role as followers of Christ is not to know what the future holds. And again, I know that's the temptation. That's the urge that we feel in this kind of modern, instantaneous society. When you got things like Google, things like Siri and weather apps, like how many of us were scrolling on our phones today being like, is it going to rain or not when we're worshiping out of the shelter? Like, I get that temptation, but if you look at the text, man, Jesus makes it so clear that it is not for us to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now, I do think that leads us to observation number two, and that's what our role is. And if you look, our role is to be a spirit-filled people who serve as Jesus' witnesses, or as Matthew tells us in his account, a people who make disciples, a people who make disciples of all nations to the ends of the earth. So again, when you think about those two things, like, I can't help but notice that our culture always has us hardwired to think about what's next. Like, what's the next season, the next job, the next vacation, the next you name it. But I think for the follower of Christ, honestly, for the capital C church, I'm talking about all churches, and also this very specific congregation, you and I gathered here today, we ought to be asking, are we doing what we've already been told? Are we doing what we've already been told? Because after these instructions from the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's exactly what we see happen in almost day one of the early church. That's what we see in our second scripture reading. Acts 2, 42 through 47. I know we explored this a lot for like 5 weeks, but it's a great passage. Read it with me. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here's my question as I read this text. What was the name of the early church? Their logo, their branding, their signage. What was the kids' ministry stance on? Should we do Cheerios or should we do goldfish? Should we build Legos or should we do paper airplanes? What was the church's mission statement? What about their values, their DNA, their goals, and their 5-year vision, and their 10-year vision, and their 20-year vision? Friends, this is who the early church was. I mean, just read the text. They devoted themselves to God's word. They gathered corporately. They worshiped together. They prayed. They leveraged their resources. They engaged in community. They evangelized, and they did it all with and for one another, for sure, but also for the world, to the ends of the earth. And the Lord added to their number. The Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And then later on in Acts chapter 8, we read that a man named Paul, who once hated the church, he also encounters the resurrected Jesus, and he goes from being a hater of Christianity to a leader of Christianity, becoming apostle, a leader of the early church, and writing 2/3 of the New Testament. And like I mentioned earlier, we're going to start a new sermon series next week, going verse by verse through one of the letters that he wrote, Paul's letter written to the Ephesians. And again, we will come back with us next week as we kick off that series at Laurel Park. But before Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, the Bible tells us he actually lived there. And he lived there for 3 years. And my question for you would be, what do you think Paul's mission strategy was? What was Paul's vision for what he was going to do? Acts 19 gives us a great summary. It says, Paul entered the synagogue and for 3 months he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, Paul withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And so again, we cannot overcomplicate this. Because what Paul is doing is following Jesus' commands from Acts chapter 1. And honestly, he's doing what we're doing right now. Right? Paul meets people where they are to share the gospel, not demanding that all of these people come to him. And Luke says that he does it daily. It's crazy enough that he did it for 3 months at first, but then it says he does this daily for 2 years. And the result? Luke tells us all the residents of Asia, not Ephesus, all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. And so listen, my point is this. I understand the desire for things like a mission statement, values and DNA, what programs will we have, and initiatives and vision. Like, please believe me, I feel that anxiety in my own heart. Ask Jason and Tyler, like, there is this constant, like, we gotta go do something. Like, I feel this anxious desire. But the question that we have got to be asking ourselves is that what we are called to? Is that what we're called to? Or perhaps, is it the lure of the branding and the marketing strategy of our American culture? I'm telling you, in this season, we all, individually as members of this church, but together as a congregation, we have to be asking the Lord, what do you want? What do you want for this church? And while we ought to be asking that question, I think we do need to realize that part of that process is looking at what he's already told us. And he's already told us so much through his word. And like we've seen in these scriptures today, and certainly throughout the rest of the New Testament, this is it. It's not from growth models. It's not from podcasts and self-help books and flashy new trends. And Lord knows it is not all of our collective opinions. It's who we have been called to be from the risen and resurrected Jesus Christ, whose scripture tells us with the relationship to the church also has titles like the cornerstone, the most foundational thing needed to build the foundation of a structure. We see that in Ephesians 2:20. He's also the head of the church. We see that in Ephesians 5:23. He's the chief shepherd. That's what 1 Peter tells us. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what Revelation says. The point is, this is Jesus' church. And he has promised that he will build it and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so in light of all of this, I'll tell you, the one pressing thing that has been on my mind as I've tried to really reflect and pray and seek the Lord is that I feel like we need to be a church that majors on the majors. A church that majors on the majors, the things that we know we're supposed to do. And so first and foremost, if this is your first time with us today, or if you're hearing us as you walk along the path or around the lake, I want you to know that at this church, each and every week, you're going to hear the gospel proclaimed. That you and I, though created in the image of God and loved by God, we in turn sinned against God. And that the consequence of that disobedience is separation from him, both now and also for eternity. And yet because of God's love for us, we read that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect life that we could not, and yet die the death that we deserved. And yet we also believe that that same Jesus Christ would rise from the grave 3 days later. He would conquer death and offers restoration to God in eternal life for all who would believe in him. And that's about as majoring on the majors as you can get. And that's why we're here today. Yes, it's here to remember a very specific season of our church, but it's also to come and share the gospel boldly and unapologetically with our community. And so if you haven't already, I want to invite you to receive Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection on your behalf, to trust in him as your Lord and Savior. And listen, if you're not there yet, that's fine. We're not a church that's going to pressure you or persuade you, but we do believe that the claims of Jesus and his gospel at least require a response. That neutrality or passivity or indifference is not an option. So we invite you to at least investigate for yourself. And there may be no better way to start that journey than exploring Ephesians with us next week. And for the followers of Christ, more specifically those who consider Shelter Church their home, listen, man, I'm not saying all this other stuff doesn't matter. I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm not trying to avoid it. Certainly not kicking the can down the road. But what I am asking is, are we doing what the Lord has already asked us? Right? Like, before we worry about anything else, the question that we all individually have to be asking ourselves is, am I consistently, that's the key, am I consistently gathering for worship? Am I consistently engaging in community? I'm not talking about doing it just to check the box. I'm talking about diving deep. Diving deep into relationship and accountability and prayers and love and fellowship. Am I in community? Am I using my talents to serve? To serve the church, to serve the community? Am I giving generously? Am I leveraging my resources for the advancement of the gospel? Not just for the practical nature of this church, but so everyone in our community can hear this good news and become adopted sons and daughters. And am I sharing? Am I sharing? In other words, the question is, am I majoring on the majors? Mission statements, values, vision, they're great. But when is the last time that I shared Jesus with my neighbor or my coworker? Because I'll tell you, more than any program, class, or initiative, or vision that we could offer, I'm here to tell you, because I've seen it play out so many times in my life, that one of the best ways that we can grow personally in our relationship with the Lord, like it literally affects everything, one of the best ways that we can grow is by sharing him with others. The question is, are we? And if we're not, how can we? Friends, I want you to know that we commit to being a church that presents opportunities for everything we've explored today. Being a church that majors on the majors. And so the invitation for each and every one of us, for as long as the Lord would have it, is to continue walking on the path that he is leading us down. And walking that path as a church together. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, we thank you for your church. Thank you for being the head of the church and building the church, promising that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We thank you for making all of this possible by your perfect life, death, and resurrection. Holy Spirit, in short, we want to be led by you. Help us to walk at your pace. Help us to pause and to listen and to discern. And then a response, would you help us to obey? We want to embody what we read about in the early church, being a spirit-filled people who serve as Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth. And Father, as always, I pray that today would be a day of salvation. I ask that you would open up hearts to experience and then receive the gospel, becoming adopted sons and daughters now and into eternity. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.